This morning, God's Word comes to us from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. We're going to read the first 19 verses of this chapter. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. And here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals, to page 52 in the back section. Page 52 for most of you. With the number of visitors we have this morning, we have exceeded the number of Psalter hymnals we have. And so for those of you who are sitting in the south wing, you have a different numbering in the back, I've been told by our setup committee. So if it's not on page 52, just look for Lord's Day 39. Lord's Day 39. That's what we're going to read this morning. We are going to read this together. I will read the question and ask you to respond to the, with the answer. And again, once again, my apologies to those of you in the south section. You probably have a different wording than we do. You have the 59 Psalter, and the rest of us have the 76 Psalter. So you may just want to listen and watch as the rest of us answer the question together. From Lord's Day 39, question 104. I'll read the question. You may respond with the answer. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment?
That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and
We have, as a congregation, together been looking at the law of God as it's expounded for us in God's Word, as it's highlighted for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. The Heidelberg Catechism, one of our confessional documents as a church, we've been going through the commandments one by one, and we have finished commandments 1 through 4. Commandments 1 through 4 all deal directly with our relationship to God and how we are to worship Him and how we are to honor Him. Now we come to a transition in the law as we go to the last 6 commandments, commandments 5 through 10. And these focus not so much directly on our relationship to God, but on our relationship to our neighbor. Now, certainly that flows out of our relationship to God, but the focus is on how do we relate to those around us. And as we enter the second table, I think it's important for us to remember the function the law has in our life. We have talked about the law in its three uses. The law gives us a general sense of civic good. The law tells us how to get along in life. The law tells us what are just good things to do, good advice for everyone. I think it's particularly important as we enter this second table, the relationship with our neighbor, that we recognize as believers, we don't accept the law simply as good advice, that it's helpful for civic good, but it has a deeper meaning for us. We've talked about the second use of the law, a law which points out our sin and drives us to Christ. And certainly as we think about our relationship to authority, we know we have not always respected authority as we should. It reminds us of our sin. It humbles us, at least it should. And it should drive us into Christ for forgiveness. We have been highlighting the third use of the law, as the Catechism does. The law as a rule of gratitude in the life of the believer. Why do we keep the law? Why do we bother? We know keeping the law cannot save us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We keep the law because of what God has done. Because He, in His love and mercy, has chosen to save us, to call us to be His own, to make us His children. And we want to respond with obedience. We want to respond with gratitude. We want to respond with thanksgiving. Because of what God has done, we now begin to keep the law of God. We remind ourselves of that as we enter this second table, this table about our relationship with those around us. It's not simply good advice for us, but it is the response of the believer to the work of God in Jesus Christ. We come to the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And we see right away that God gives us those in authority over us to help us. Authority is not something to be worried about, afraid of. Authority is given as a blessing to us. The author of Proverbs speaks as a father to a son. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Be attentive that you may gain insight. When I was a son with my father, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, keep your heart, hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live. God in His goodness has placed a structure in society. And God has placed order in society. And God has made the family the foundation of that structure. The family is a gift from God. Because in the family, we learn all the basic things we need to know. We learn all the physical skills we need to know. How to hold a spoon, how to be kind to each other, all the spiritual skills, all the relational skills, how to share our toys with our brothers and sisters. Kids, you learn that in the family. And that carries with you throughout life. The family is that basic gift God has given to us to teach us, to instruct us. How to respect others, how to honor others. We learn that already as children in our parents' homes. By extension, that family structure then includes the church. We are called the family of God. We do not gather this morning as a bunch of individuals, but we gather as a body. We've been talking about that in our evening services in 1 Corinthians, the body of Christ. We are the family of God. And that's a gift to us. It's a blessing to belong to the Christian church. It's a blessing to be part of the family. And here too, we see that God has placed an authority structure in place. God has given us the elders to help us as a gift, as a blessing to us. And they are the authority who is given to us I say this lovingly to the elders, whether they know better than we do or not. It really doesn't matter if the elders are smarter than we are. It really doesn't matter if the elders know more than we do. Now, in this case, I believe they are, and they do. But God has placed them as an authority over us. That's God's choice. And His choice to bless us under their authority. It is our call to submit to them. And the very same thing is true in the family. God has given us parents to help us and to instruct us. And children, it really doesn't matter if mom and dad are smarter than you. And it really doesn't matter if they know more than you. So often as children we say, my folks just don't get it. They don't know what I know. They don't see the things I see. That may be true. It may all be true. But it's also beside the point. God has placed a structure in the family that mom and dad are to be the authority. And as children under their authority, we are called to submit to them. Whether we agree with them or not, whether we think they get it or not, that's the role God has given to them. My son, listen to my instruction. Hear the words I give to you. Not because I'm smarter, not because I know more, but because God has placed me in this role. And of course, we recognize all of us find ourselves under the authority of our Father in heaven. We want our children to submit to us, whether we know better or not. Are we modeling for that for them as parents in our relationship to our Heavenly Father? God has given us instruction. God has given us law. God has given us rule and precept. And yet so often we say, we think we know better. God couldn't have had my circumstance in mind when He wrote this. And we think we know better than God. But God is the final authority. And our response is to submit to Him. As parents, sometimes we tell our children, do things this way, and they don't understand why. The same thing can happen with God. He says, do it my way, and we say, God, why that way? My way seems so much smarter. But God knows better. We freely admit as parents, as mothers and fathers, we can make a mistake. Children, we will never intend to make a mistake. We will never intend to do something which hurts you, but it may turn out that way. And if that's the case, we as parents will apologize to you. We'll ask for your forgiveness. We never intended it. We have the confidence of knowing that our Father in heaven, never makes a mistake. He never has to say, oh, that didn't turn out the way I expected it to. And we with confidence can submit to Him. We with confidence can follow His leading, knowing He will never make a mistake, even though our parents might make a mistake. God's will is that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. God has given us order. He's given us structure in the family. He's given us structure in the church. And ultimately, our submission is to Him to follow after the instructions our Father has given to us. Because our parents are given to us and authority is given to us to teach us wisdom. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Be attentive that you may gain insight. When I was a son, I was learned from my father. He says in verse 5, get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, do not turn away from my words, the words of my mouth. We are taught wisdom. We are taught insight. That's more than just knowledge. You know, as children, we learn a lot of things. We get a lot of knowledge, a lot of facts, a lot of figures. Wisdom is beyond that. Insight is beyond that. It is how to take the knowledge and apply it to your life. We learn the rules about how things are supposed to go in the family, but then do we actually do them and apply them with our brothers and sisters? We know the rule, you need to share. But your brother comes up and says, "Can I have your cookie?" "No, you can't have my cookie." Okay, we know the rule, but we haven't applied it. Wisdom is applied knowledge. That's harder to learn. And that's why God gives us parents. And that's why God gives us authority to help us learn wisdom. Remember when I was growing up, I grew up in Washington State. And unlike here, the winters in Washington are not very harsh. There's not many snowstorms, certainly not many ice storms. And when I was 16 and getting my driver's license, I had to go through a driver's education class. And they taught us the knowledge of how to drive on ice. And so I knew that when you drive on ice, you shouldn't push the brakes hard. You should pump the brakes. This is before ABS. You should pump the brakes. Don't turn the steering wheel. Go a little bit slower than normal. And that's how you drive on ice. I knew it. Well, winter came. It happened to be a winter that we got some snow and some ice. So I went to Dad. And I said, "Dad, I want to go drive on the ice." I don't know what he was thinking, but he said, "Yes, we'll do that." So we went out in the car and began to drive. And I knew all the rules. So I was driving slowly. We were in a very secluded area of town. Was driving slowly. And Dad said, "Okay, now go ahead and stop the car." I knew the rules. Don't turn the wheel. Pump the brakes. Don't slam the brakes on. And I pushed the brake down a little bit. And the back end of the car began to turn. And I turned the wheel and pushed the brake to the floor. We slid right off the road. I knew it, but I had no wisdom, no application. I hadn't learned to apply the knowledge that I had. Dad drove us home without a problem. He knew it and could apply it. Children, that's what we learn from those in authority over us. To apply the truth God has given to us. To apply the things He has taught us from our parents. And our parents help us in that. They help us in the decisions that we make. They give us direction. We need to listen to the wisdom, to the insight God has given to them. We sometimes say, "My parents just don't get it." Trust me, they get it. They get it. They've been there. And they want to keep you from having to make the same mistakes perhaps that they did. So we learn wisdom. We learn insight. And then we have to hold on to what we have learned. Verse 5, get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away. Verse 6, do not forsake wisdom. She will keep you. Love her. She will guard you. We have to hold on to the teaching our parents have given to us. Can you imagine training for a job? Training for a job for 18 years and having a mentor to help you for 18 years prepare for a job that you know you need. And finally, you get, after 18 years of training, set out on your own. And you say, "You know what? I'm going to forget everything they've told me and do it my own way." That is not the way of wisdom. That is not the way of insight. God gives us parents to help us, to instruct us. We must hold on to the teaching they have given to us. As we enter our teenage years, hold on to the instructions mom and dad have given us. As we leave the house, hold on to their instruction. Not say, "Well, I'm going to forget those 18 years of training God has given to me and go my own way." No, get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away. Do not forsake wisdom. She will keep you. Love her. She will guard you. Prize her highly. She will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow upon you a beautiful crown. To embrace the teaching and instruction God through our parents giveth to us is the way of blessing, is the way of safety. is the way that allows us to walk in a way that is pleasing to God. He instructs us. He teaches us. He teaches us all as His children. We get that instruction through Bible study. We get that instruction through public worship. Hold on to the teachings we get as God's children. Do not neglect them. Do not forsake them. Do not turn away from them. You come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Don't forget the instruction that you're receiving. God continues to train us for our life with Him. Embrace the wisdom. Embrace the insight. Apply it in your family. Apply it in your job. Apply it with your spouse. Apply it with your children, with your parents, with your boss. Take these things and hold on to them. For they are the way of blessing. God says, do these things that you may live. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And the author of Proverbs sets out two ways before us, two ways of entering into life, either in a way of blessing or in a way of wickedness. Verse 10, hear my son, accept my words, and the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the path of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. The instructions of God are the path of life for us. They are the path of light. They are the path of blessing. To neglect the instruction God gives us is to turn away from the clear path, to turn away from the blessing of uprightness. Our step, He says, will not be hampered. And if we run, we won't stumble. Guard this instruction, for she is your life. Walking in God's ways, embracing the truth He has given, is the path of life for us. God tells us that we are fallen, we are sinful, we cannot save ourselves, and He makes known to us the path of life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And for all who repent and believe in Him and embrace Him, they will know eternal life. That's the instruction God gives to us. We don't have to do anything. Simply know Jesus Christ. And yet so often we say, I don't want to know Him. I'll go my own way and do my own thing. Accept the words of your Father. Embrace Jesus as Lord, as your Lord, as your Savior. Know the joy of forgiveness of sins. Your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of the instruction. Don't let go. Guard, for she is your life. That's the path of light. There's also the path of darkness, the path of wickedness. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. There's a way of light and there's a way of darkness. There's a way of righteousness. There's a way of wickedness. There's a way of life. There's a way of death. And the author says, don't even begin to go down that path. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. We often like to say, I'll just go a little bit down that path. It doesn't seem that bad to me. I'll just go a little bit away from the path of righteousness. Just a little bit down this other road. And the author says, don't even begin that path. Don't even walk in that way. Because little by little by little, that path leads us away from God and away from His blessing. The devil doesn't often come to us with these great big huge sins and say, do this awful terrible thing. He comes to us with something small in our eyes. Just a little deviation from the path of righteousness. Just start walking down that road a little bit.
And then he challenges us a little bit more. And tempts us a little bit more. A little bit more. And before we know it, we say, how did I get here? How did I get so far from the people of God? It started with one little step. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Sometimes we say, yeah, but I can hang out with this group of people, or I can be with this group of friends because I'm strong enough. I'm strong enough to withstand their temptations. What does the author say? They cannot sleep. This is the wicked. They cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. When we hang out with a group of friends, with a group of people, with a group of colleagues that we know we shouldn't be with, and we say, but I'm strong enough to withstand, don't forget, they want you to join them. They want you to be a part of their wickedness, and they will not stop until they make you stumble. That's the warning. The warning that leads down the path of death. The author concludes this section, the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter unto full day. We start down that path of righteousness, and perhaps at the beginning it doesn't look quite so glorious. But step by step by step, we see the glory of God. We see He has given us this path in which we might walk so that we might live. The way of wickedness is like deep darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. They've gone so far, they don't even recognize the things that are making them to fall even now. Two paths laid out for us, two ways in which to walk. God has worked in the lives of His people. God has blessed us with the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and He gifts us with the power of the Holy Spirit that we might heed the law of God, recognizing the blessing of authority, the structure He has put in place, hearing the words of our parents, hearing the words of the elders as they care for the family of God. And by the grace and mercy of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk step by step by step in the path of righteousness. The path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. God has given all of us authorities. Authorities over us. Ultimately, He Himself, our Father in heaven. May God grant us the strength and the grace to walk in the way of wisdom that He has laid out for us. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we acknowledge You are all wise. You know all things. You know them all at one time, and You know the perfect path of life. You've instructed us. You've taught us. You haven't left us in the dark. But You've given us Your Word as a light upon our path, a shining light to guide our feet. Lord God, when we reject Your Word, when we think we know better, oh, please forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ. Remind us once again today, O God, of the blessing of following in Your ways, the blessing of walking in Your paths, and we pray that from this day You would continue to lead us in the way of righteousness. Hear our prayer, O God, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.